Do you want me to read it over?
Oh.
Go for it.
Okay. I will be reading from Ephesians 4, 2, and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, 2, and 3.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All hearts and minds clear. What a lovely passage read there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord, a day of unity in marriage, Lord God. And we want to invite you into this call, Lord God, and ask that you bring your presence along, Lord God, with the declaration, Lord God, and the conversation to follow, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the transparency, Lord God, that will take place in the conversations, Lord God, as we sharpen one another, Lord God, in mind, Lord God, for unity and strength in our marriages today, Lord. Father God, I ask that you anoint and that you bless the couple that will be sharing the declaration with us today, Lord God. And I ask, Lord, that you open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we be able to receive that which they have for us today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I pass the call.
Thank you so much, Brother Jeff and Sister Erica and Sister Denise.
Hi, this is Solomon. I'm 9.
Oh, this is Kwame. I'm 14.
And we are the lovers.
Hey, Solomon, 14 and 9. Welcome.
Yeah. We just decided to do that because we opened up in prayer before we actually did the call, and the kids prayed for us through this journey that we're going on tonight, and they have dismissed themselves. So we will begin our heart share. The topic today is in-laws and boundaries. Cedric asked me for his hand in marriage in early 1999, and we had about 6 months to plan the wedding, shower, and everything else. And there was more pressing things to take place than an actual wedding. One being Cedric asking my mother for my hand and what came next to follow. My mom told Cedric yes under one condition, and that condition was he had to help me raise my 3-year-old niece, Eve, and he said yes. This is where the drama began.
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm just going to back up a little bit also, because while we were dating, I actually lived in Sacramento, and Imani stayed in San Francisco. So, I had my own place. So throughout the years that we were dating, Imani always came up on a weekend to my place because we actually have privacy. On occasion, she would bring Eve, and I would really enjoy it because we go swimming, we go to the park, and we have a good time. And, I tried to make sure I always created a good environment for when they came that, make it enjoyable and fun. So when I did decide to ask Imani for a hand in marriage, we had already kind of like laid out what we wanted to do with our life as far as the goals that we had. One of the goals was we wanted to buy a house. That required us to reduce costs. I gave up my place in Sacramento, and I moved down to San Francisco and stayed in Imani's mother's basement. And I stayed in the basement in Imani's mom's house. Some of the things we do for love, and we did it because we got to do it. I did ask Imani's mom for her hand in marriage, and she says, hey, Imani made this commitment to raise her niece until she was 18. The only way I'll give you my blessing is that you take Eve in as your daughter, respect her, love her, and honor the commitment that Imani made. So that was a no-brainer for me. Yes, no problem. It's all good. That's all I got to do. Perfect. No one warned me about the other drama that involved. No one, I had, even when we dated, I had no idea about the, well, no other way to say it, the sister-in-law from hell. Basically, the drama started is when I did move down there, I got a chance to, I never formed a good relationship with her sister, and I kind of should have known that that was a flag, but once I moved down with them, I started seeing things about her sister that I really did not like, as far as drinking, partying, very, very loud. I mean, really, really loud. And since, you know, I'm in the basement, I did not voice my opinion or say anything. I'm just saving up my money. We're going to be out of here. We're buying us a house. So we did. We saved up our money. We bought our house. We moved out. And then that's when the drama really started. We had a hard time with boundaries and in-laws. At times, you know, on occasion, my sister-in-law would bring Eve over unannounced and just drop her off. Hey, I'm going out partying. I'm going out partying. You know, can you guys, you know, watch Eve? She never, it wasn't like a phone call to say, hey, are you guys available to watch her? You know, I want to bring her by. It was always something unannounced. So it bothered me. I felt like, hey, I'm not going to be disrespected in my own house. This is ridiculous. You know, she's going to have to respect us. She's going to have to respect our house. So I voiced my opinion to Imani. I mean, Imani agreed early on that when there's problems in our family, she would deal with her side. I would deal with my side. Being disrespectful to me in my house just did not sit well with me at all. So, yes, I did voice my opinion. It turned into a yelling match. But the thing that it really turned into was Imani's sister not allowing us to see our niece at all. And this went on for the first time, I think it went on for a period of 3 months, where she would not bring her by, she would not return calls, and she was basically using her as a pawn. So, you know, and I'm like, hey, I just don't want to be disrespected in my house. But, you know, there's other things that are more important. I knew that it was important for Imani to have that relationship with her sister and with her niece. So eventually time healed that wound, and it just kept going. One time, me and Imani was in Sacramento at my mom's house. We're up there having a good time, barbecuing and everything. We get a knock at the door, and it's Imani's sister, Eve, and their family. And what they came to do is they came to drop Eve off with no announcement at all. So as you can imagine, when this happened, the look on me and Imani's face, we were embarrassed. We were shocked. We were just really, really mad. But now we have this 7-year-old girl saying, hey, aren't you guys happy to see me and coming to give us a hug? So there's a time and place for everything. I did not want to start fighting with her sister at that point with my family over there, the little girl, my niece. I didn't want it to feel like it was her fault that this was all happening. So we bit my tongue. My mom says, hey, you know, Eve is welcome over here anytime. No problem. I have no problem with that. But I feel that that's rude and disrespectful that her sister comes and drops her off over here without announcing it. Subject, you need to handle that. You need to talk to her. I did talk to her. I told her, hey, that's very rude. That's very disrespectful. She claims she called us. We're looking at our phone. There's no missed calls. But beyond that, you don't drive way up here to drop a little girl off unannounced. It's just beyond, you know, beyond my realm of why would you think like that? If you haven't talked to us, why would you do something like this? So, again, after I voiced something, it was a matter of her withholding my niece, basically not allowing her to communicate with me and Imani, and also her, you know, not communicating with us either. So, unfortunately, this kept on going until Eve turned pretty much 18. At that point, we kind of saw her sister's, you know, true colors. I didn't know the other stuff. I did not know the baggage that her sister was carrying also, to kind of explain this type of behavior. My biggest thing was, as a man going to work, paying a mortgage, I felt that I should be respected in my own house. So where do I draw the line to cut off these people and say, hey, I don't want you guys ever coming over here again? You know, because that's what I wanted to do on many occasions. Again, that's not fair to Imani, and that's not fair to my niece. So the balance and the boundaries, we just really fought and struggled with those.
And to this day, because we have boundaries, unfortunately, my sister doesn't speak to me. And I think I mentioned before on the line that my niece confided in me that she didn't want to ever choose between me and her mother. And I told her, you would never have to choose. It would always be your mother over me. So, and unfortunately, because of, I believe, the lifestyle that Eve is living now, she's not speaking to us as well. So it's a bittersweet. It's really hard. I try not to get too emotional about it. And I'm just continue to pray and letting God take over and take charge. So.
And now after everything is done, with me, because I always tried to make sure that when Eve came over, it was a safe, fun environment, and she felt that we loved her. And for things to turn out, I thought after she would be 18, it would be more of a relaxed situation where we could all come together, have a good time, no one's under any pressure, and we could just feel like we're family and we're together. And unfortunately, when that didn't happen, you know, I had to look and say, hey, you know, I feel like I just got used. I felt I shelled out a lot of love. I shelled out a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of money. And all I wanted back in return was basically the same love that I given out. And I also wanted to be respected is one thing that I felt that I really, you know, demanded. And I don't understand why that was an issue. Not being disrespected, I feel like I was. And, you know, like I say, where do you draw the line as far as cutting your in-laws off and saying, hey, I don't want you guys ever coming over to my house again? And just creating, you know, the scripture that was read really touched home, too, because it talked about, you know, it talked about love and forgiving others. And so that's how I struggled with it. And, you know, I like to see what other people think about it also. And unfortunately, the situation did not come to a good close, but it's over with. But what I've learned is, you know, continue to do what I'm going to do regardless of what someone else is going to do. If my mission and God tells me to show someone love, I need to swallow my pride and show that love and that God wants me to show. So I'm going to let Imani take over from now.
And I guess we'll just open it up for discussion. And I want to just also say apologize for the background noise. We have a good friend here from Atlanta. My girlfriend came into town, so if there was background noise, forgive us. But we haven't seen her in a while, so we welcome Teresa as well.
She's from the Bay Area and went to Washington High School. What do you guys feel about in-laws and boundaries? Has anyone experienced a situation with their in-laws like this, and how did you guys deal with it?
Yes, this is Denise. I had that problem for a long time. When me and my husband first got married, myself, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, we were all pregnant at the same time. And this is where it all began. And when I when they lost their babies, my sister-in-law was in an accident. She lost her baby. And my mother-in-law, because of her age, she got pneumonia and she lost her baby. And they hated me for that. But like I tried to explain to her, you have kids, you have grandkids. And I told my sister-in-law, you have kids, give me the opportunity to be a mom. And from there on out, all they did was just talk in my husband's ear. Watch her. She's no good for you. She's no good for you. Anything I did was never pleasing to them. One of his aunts just moved in one day. I come home from work. We need somebody here to take care of you. Your wife worked two jobs. No woman should have to work two jobs. And she need to be home. She don't need to be working. And they just kept on saying that to him. Then one day he was like, you need to quit your jobs. No. My job is affording us to live the lifestyle that we are living. To this day, I still hear bickering and whining from his sister. His mom has passed away. But now it's not towards me. It's towards my kids because their brother and son never let them take over. Because I told them, I said, you married me. You didn't marry them. That is your mother. I will never, ever take that away from you. But you need to put me first. What God bring together, let no man separate.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
His sister still don't like me, and we've been married 35 years. It'll be 36 in August, and I still hear mess from her. But I told her, I'm married to your brother. I didn't marry you. But
you're
just
right.
Whatever it is, talk to him. And tell them how you feel. It took me a long time to get to that point. But you have to put yourself first and your family, well, your children first.
Thank you for your heart share.
Sure.
Imani and Cedric, I just want to say, oh, awesome job. You guys did really, really good. I'm so proud of you for sharing that with us. Well, I can't really speak on this thing with, you know, the in-laws because my in-laws are wonderful. And I think, you know what, and I think part of that is probably because we don't live in the same state. So that could, you know, be a big part of it too. You know, my mother-in-law, she texts me every day. She'll text me, good morning, how are you? You know, I think we have a really good relationship. We've never had any issues or anything. So I'm just going to go back on mute because, like I said, I can't really say anything. I have, you know, a good relationship with my in-laws, and I think it's because they're, you know, they live, you know, far away. But I don't know, like Denise said, just hang in there, you know, and let them know how you feel. And thank you for sharing. I truly appreciate you guys.
Thank you for all your support, me, Marion. Thank you for your share. Anybody else?
Hello, this is Brother Eric. I too want to congratulate you on a wonderful declaration, your transparency and willingness to share this with us. You are to be commended, both of you. I have one question. How long have you been married?
We've been married for 15 years.
This year,
okay.
This year will be 16.
Okay.
I think we earlier, we had a ghost wedding, which was September 1st. Because Cedric couldn't contain himself, and then we had the church wedding on November 13th.
That's all right. Brother Cedric, wow. You know, when I was listening to you share, man, it was like, wow, you went through a lot. One thing I would say this. That, you know, when you made the decision to move into the mama's basement, you know, as a military man, that's like, I won't say the enemy, but when you go into even an ally, somebody else's territory, you kind of give up that power. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think you were aware of that, so that's why you really kind of withstood the things that were happening because you was, you know, that wasn't your own. But when you went into your when you got into your house, you were definitely right about that. You're definitely right. That's your house. You have a right to be, not to be disrespected. me and you, you know, like I said, we're briefly married. We came across something with her sister Robin, who's also on the line. We didn't hit off initially, and I think the reason why is because of the nature of how we got married, you know, being online and never dating, never seeing nobody, never seeing each other, them never seeing me. And so how I dealt with the situations was I got Robin, you know, it was Robin, me, and Jew, and we sat down, we talked, and we laid it out and everything. And really, I just was selfless. I just told Robin, I said, listen, you ain't got to like me. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to respect me, but I don't want, you know, from what we're happening to get between you and your sister, because they have a very, very strong bond because of losing their mother and their father at an early age and really having to survive out here on the streets, you know, barely out of their teens. So I said like this, you know, whatever you do, just don't, you know, sabotage your relationship with, you know, your sister. And from there, you know, just for us, it was just all about praying, all about just holding Robin's name up and just extending it at all times, just a hand of peace, but just allowing God to do His will, but being united, you know, just being united, like it's been said before, just keeping that front, you know, not letting nobody get between you. That's the only thing I could really say. That's the only thing that even comes close to what you you know, y'all went through. The only thing I could say is maybe come together, you know, just really have a sit down. I don't know if you ever did that. Just sit down and just, you know, trying to hash out, you know, hey, what the problem is, and just telling her, you know, well, this is the rules and love. And if they don't accept that, then, you know, you just ain't nothing you could do. Ain't really nothing you could do except just be united. Just hold on to that. Just put it to the Lord. That's, you know, that's what I have to say about it.
This is Teresa from Atlanta. I just wanted to comment. I just came in on the declaration. But, you know, in thinking about what you all were talking about, and I can think back in my marriage, I've been with my husband for 17 years, and we started out with the same thing with the mother and the sister-in-law. And what happened, my husband was the man of his house at a very young age when the mother and the father broke up. So then he became the person that made sure everything was okay in the house up until his 20s. Then after that, when he was married, he moved away and moved to Atlanta from New Jersey. And, you know, and we became husband and wife. The sister and the mother followed him to Atlanta. And he didn't know how to not to tell them, I can't take care of you anymore, I have a wife. Or I can't do the things that, you know, I've done in the past because I have a wife. And it was like he had three wives. So because of his personality, he could not, it was so much of undercover stuff. Like he would help them take money from the account and help them work extra to put it back, you know, not to get anyone mad at anybody because they didn't understand that he can't do this, pick up, take here, do that, help me with this. And without taking from his family. So it took years for us to establish me as being the number one person that should come first. So it took, I promise you, maybe 10 years to break that because the bond was so strong.
Yeah.
It was so strong to the point where they had drawn me in, too, to actually do the same thing that he was doing with them. And they didn't understand that there was a problem with doing that, with him being still the man of both of their homes, even though the sister got married. He was still doing things for her. So it took about 10 years for that to finally break, but it was a problem to the point where we were almost divorced because of that. So that, in that respect, you know, with the in-laws and the husband and the wife. That is something, I guess, you should establish. The woman, the family comes first in the very beginning and set boundaries. And if he wanted me to follow him as a man of God, then that what he's got to be the head of my household, then we had to work that out.
Amen.
Thank you for your heart, Jared, Teresa. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Brother Jeff. I want to also thank you, Brother Cedric and Imani, for that powerful declaration on boundaries. You know, in my experience and my present marriage, I have beautiful in-laws, and the experience that me and my wife had is that I was overextending myself the relationship that I had with my kids and my kids' mother from my previous marriage. And I was really being manipulated, and I was overextending myself when it comes to taking care of my kids. That was, you know, understood. But me and my kids' mother, we had been apart for like 3 years, and when I met my wife Patrice, and we got along really well as long as I was single. But as soon as she saw that I was in a serious relationship, I didn't really was able to see that I was overextending myself. And as soon as I began to set boundaries and say, well, no, I'm not going to overextend myself because I'm not your husband anymore. You know, I'm going to do this for my kids and I'm going to do that for my kids, but I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, because that it was out of the scope of me providing for my kids. And as soon as I began to stand up for myself, I mean, things hit the fan. You know, the kids wasn't allowed to come over to our house and spend the night anymore. And the conversations, me and my kid's mother, you know, got heated, and it wasn't positive. It was, you know, somewhat negative. And like the other sister just shared, that it took about, you know, 10 years in that process. It didn't take as long for my situation. We eventually, my wife, she invited my kids to be in the wedding. So I think at that point, things began to mellow out, you know, and so the boundaries that I had set, it was like understood, you might as well accept these boundaries, because I have a commitment, and it's not going to change. And in another scenario, with my sister-in-law, you know, my wife, there's four sisters, and there were two of them out here in California, and I found myself having to place myself on a boundary and back up, because by two of the sisters being out here in California, family is important to me. I wanted them to be close and have a strong bond. And there was times when they wasn't connecting, and I was trying to, you know, push them together and cause harmony to transpire between the two sisters, right? And you know, I guess I did get my feelings hurt, you know, and I saw what I I learned that I must back up, you know, and I couldn't force, you know, the issue of the two sisters bonding and loving on each other, because they had a relationship for years before I even came in the picture. And so there's a reason why God says that a man should leave his parents' home and join to his wife, because it's something very spiritual about that, the man and the woman becoming one. So we must have boundaries and set boundaries once we become one, because, you know, if I ever get to the place and the point where I need my wife to change my diapers, you know what I'm saying?
I heard that.
You know what I'm saying? It just can't be nothing in between that. There's a reason why God, and it's on a spiritual level. It's so deep that in-laws, they, you know, ones that spiritual and really have a connection with God, they'll never disrespect that. But those that that don't have that revelation, they'll disrespect your boundaries every time, you know. So those are a couple of experiences that I had. I don't know if my wife have anything to share.
Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that heart share. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Pretty Patrice?
Hello. Give me 1 second.
Well, go ahead, Pretty Patrice, and I want to ask Imani a question real fast. Imani, I know I heard you say that your niece is, I guess, not really speaking to you at the moment. How often do you guys see each other?
Well, I hadn't seen her for about a year and a half, but then I saw her last Christmas when my grandmother was here, and it was really awkward. Because we were really, really close. And she said, hey, Auntie gave me a hug and ran. So, you know, if I look at her, I know what's going on. But she ran. And it's really hard for me, and I don't want to get all geared up about it. But,
right.
Because I don't know what she's actually doing. I do know one thing she learned from us is good work ethics. And she's been keeping her job at this really big church in San Francisco. So she go to work every day, and that's truly a blessing. So I don't talk to her very at all, but I did see her this last Christmas, so I was blessed with that. Thank you.
Have you tried calling her or anything? No.
See, that's the thing about it. I don't have their numbers. This last, my sister told me she was changing her number because of X, Y, and Z, and then she didn't give it back to me. And it was funny, about 2 Thursdays ago when Tanya was doing a declaration, a block number appeared, and I answered it, and the drama started, and I had to totally go into prayer because you call me, but I don't have access to call you, and we're both conservatives over my mother. So it's kind of challenging, but I just have to keep praying and knowing that God meant, he meant everything.
Yeah.
So we're being prayerful, but I can't go into the drama because the drama get me into depression and I can't take it. So
that's,
you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Pretty Patrice, I'm back on mute.
Okay. Thank you guys for your wonderful declaration and for being transparent. I wanted to share about, first of all, let me say that I don't have in-laws. When I met my husband's mom, I never met my husband's mom, but we talked on the phone. And she taught me how to make macaroni and cheese. That's the one thing that I have of her. Even though I never met her, I will have that. And he loves the macaroni and cheese that I make. And he's so proud because he knows that I got the recipe from his mom. So that's the only relationship I had. is talking to her over the phone a couple of times, and when she was getting ready to come out here to visit us, she got sick and passed away, so it wasn't able to happen. But the one thing that I've had a hard time with, and it's not me having a hard time, it's my son has a hard time with the boundaries that I have to set because I'm married. So any decision that I make, I always say I have to ask your dad, and it bothers him because he wants me to just come right out and give it to him, whatever it is, or let it happen, whatever the situation may be. But I always say to him, I have to ask your dad. I'm married. I'm not in this by myself. You know, and even though I know I can make the decision, I don't, because I want him to respect the fact that I'm married. And your dad has, this is a partnership. And, yeah, I could make the decision, but I want to respect the fact that he is the head of the household. And, you know, a lot of people may think because I have a strong personality that I run my husband, but believe it or not, he's not always quiet. He knows how to speak up for himself when he needs to. And that's something that we both had to work on with him, because by him being mild-mannered, like he said earlier, that he had to set boundaries with his kid's mom. And, you know, it just struck me as odd that they were so close. I couldn't believe it. I said, that is not normal. But they truly had a relationship where they were friends. And it just got to the point where she was not respecting the fact that he was with someone else. And I had to put my foot down and tell him that either you tell her or I'll tell her. And he said, no, baby, I'll tell her. And so, you know, to this day, we've shared with you guys that we're friends now, because they respect the fact that, you know, when you let someone know where you stand, pretty much, and you don't move on it, you know, you don't sway, this is what it is, this is how it is, take it or leave it, they have to respect that. You know, and most people that are in our lives know that we are spiritual people, that we love the Lord, and this is our lifestyle. This is not something we just doing once a week or on Sundays we go into church. We live this way, and you're not coming in our house with no alcohol and no drugs, and you know, we don't stand for it. I've had to tell my son, you know, I don't care what you do. I care. Let me change that. I do care what he do, but he's an adult, and I have to respect that. But just don't bring it in my house. You know, I love you, and I love you to death, but don't disrespect my husband, and don't disrespect this household. And, you know, it's just grown into a beautiful relationship with our family, the fact that we've set those boundaries for ourselves. That's it.
Thank you so much, Patrice. Appreciate it. Anybody else want to share? Everybody quiet. There's 16 people on this line. Come on, y'all. Well, I'll just add to something. I was just giggling with Cedric. I said, well, your family wasn't perfect either. And he said, my family, they didn't give no trouble. I said, yeah, they were angels. I remember I had to kind of set some boundaries too, because as Teresa mentioned, Cedric was the only man in the household in Sacramento. He had a mother and a sister, and he used to do everything. And here I come, and I know they were saying, who is this, you know, Ichbay, excuse me. But they were, you know, it wasn't easy at the beginning. And I remember one day they called Cedric from San Francisco, wanted him to come down to Sacramento to empty the trash. And I was just, Okay, he's saying no. I'll never forget that. It was just little things, and I was like, seriously? To empty the trash, sweep the floor? It was little things like that would just really kind of irk me, and I had to really, really pray, and we was in counseling, and we had to talk about it, and it took years. It took years for him to know that I had to be his number one girl, basically kind of like what Teresa said. And it was a battle, because when you have two women who are used to having him around, it was like that was his, they were his man. It was a bit challenging, but to this day, you know, his sister, his mother has since passed, but his sister and I, we're like sisters. We talk often, and we don't have too much of those issues anymore, which is really, really good. So anybody else care to share?
This is Brother Eric, since ain't nobody stepping up. I was just, you know, as I was listening to everybody, I was thinking, and I know sometimes, you know, there are some of us who have been getting married, maybe might not have been saved. But I think, you know, most people now, I think you got to go through counseling who get married in church. You know, I was just thinking in my mind that that should be made available too, that couples should be made aware that because of the importance of marriage in God's eyes. I mean, it was the first covenant. I mean, after he made the Sabbath, he made the marriage. And I think most couples should go into marriage being aware that the devil's going to try to tear it down, because the marriage is the basic building block of society. And, you know, the devil knows that if he can tear down a marriage, he can tear down a community. If he can tear down a community, he can tear down a culture and society. So, you know, he's always trying to hit. And it seems like, you know, the devil's going to use the closest thing. You know, I'm hearing all these stories because, you know, it's your family. It's whether it's your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, father, mother, you know, even your children. And so I think we have to go into the marriage with that mindset that, hey, devil's going to come at us. The devil is going to come at us. And so, you know, like I said before, just got to be united, got to be prayed up and everything. And, you know, we have to do things as pleasing to God. I remember, you know, dealing with the, you know, my sister-in-law, I just kept remembering, you know, Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so I would meditate on that too, you know, and just, you know, just call God's word back to him. And, you know, eventually it worked out. You know, Robin went from, like, being my adversary to hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, to being, the one that brought us, helped us buy our first car while I was, you know, struggling trying to get a job and we didn't have no transportation. And now, you know, that's my girl. You know what I'm saying? We tight like that. So, you know, that's what I just wanted to say, too, is that, you know, we have to come into an expectation that, you know, in this marriage thing, and there's so many problems dealing with marriage, even in the best situations, you know, with finances, the adjustment, you know, the cleaving that we're supposed to do, you know, with personalities and all of that. And then when you throw family members and stuff like in, it just makes that all the more, you know, dangerous. So, you know, it's just maybe even coming in with an expectation is another weapon that we can be prepared and be alert and recognizing that these things are an attack of the enemy.
Also, we got to realize, too, you know, when you're in love and you're thinking about getting married, it's you and your spouse and it's y'all against the world. You know, it just doesn't happen like that. Everybody got baggage. Everybody got baggage that they bring with them. So it's not just you and your spouse against the world. You're marrying into a family. You're forming your own, whatever baggage your wife has as far as in-laws, family, stuff like that, it's good for her to deal with her side and you as a man to deal with your side. But we also got to recognize up front that it's just not me and my wife against the world. I wish it was that easy. But there's family that's going to be in your life. So we just have to make sure that we're using the best tools and techniques to deal with them and to create the peace and, you know, make sure we got love in our house.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And to piggyback on what you said, Brother Cedric, identifying, like you said, identifying, you know what I'm saying, when you know you're about to take it to that next step. You know, sitting down with your fiance and identifying, hey, I'm going to let you know right now, I got a crazy sister. You know what I'm saying? You know, those potential trouble spots, maybe even trying to kind of, even before you get married, maybe even trying to confer, you know, and to discuss, to try to build those relationships, even before you walk that aisle. So you know, you'll have preventive measures in effect even before you say I do, before you begin that married life. That's not to say that the trouble's not going to happen, because we all know that that's going to happen because we have the expectation, you know. But like the old saying is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, so.
That's good. You know, when Cedric was, this is Imani, when Cedric was mentioning that he dealt with his family and I deal with my family, that was one of the tools we learned in marriage ministry at the Christian Center that we got married at in San Francisco. And it seemed to work for us. It's not always perfect, but I have to deal with my sister and he had to deal with his family. Did anybody else have a heart share, anything that they wanted to share?
Yes.
Who's that? Brother Jeff?
It's Brother, yeah. You know, this call has been so enlightening for me. I mean, the whole prayer call, the morning, the men of value, even couples that's looking to remarry, all of the Friday Night Live, all of the calls have been really enlightening for me. And I just really, somebody just pointed out, because I did, me and my wife, we did go to counseling before we got married, you know, and the counselor, he pointed out that we should not let anything come between our union. Don't let anything come between us as a married couple. And once that stuck with me. So when the different issues came up with our children and with our in-laws, I remembered that. You know what I'm saying? Because this is like my second marriage, and I want it to work. I do not, you know what I'm saying? So that's something I would always drill into my wife, like, baby, you know, whatever goes on, we have to make the decision together. And that's how I think we survived those early years of blended families, setting boundaries, and we came out okay. And someone just said something that makes me really want to invite newlyweds to be to this call. Those that's looking to remarry and those that have never been married but that are looking to get married, those that are engaged or whatever, I really think it would be helpful to them if they get a full scope of the married life right now, even if, because so that they won't miss anything. Even though every life situation gonna have is real issues, but if you're listening in, this call, this prayer line has been so enlightening for me that it has opened me up and it allows me to get all that God wants me to have, that God has for me. And I know that I'm growing spiritually. So I just really think that it would be good for us to open the Marriage Matters call open to those that are looking to be married or those that are looking to remarry, whether they, you know, because they gonna get something out of this call that probably I'm almost sure gonna help them in those first early years of marriage, because those early years are crucial. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay.
Brother Jeff, that's a good idea, and I think you're on to something. I think if we all could commit, all the couples on the line could commit to inviting 2 to 3 people, especially newlyweds, because my girlfriend was just saying, especially the younger people who are getting married, they get married today and they're getting divorced next year. So
Wow.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we're about to the end of the call. We're going to close it up with scripture, and then, should we do the love tip first and then the scripture, me, Mary? Which one you want to do first?
Okay.
Me, Mary, you want to do your love tip now, and then we'll close it in with the scripture? She's probably on mute. Me, Mary? We're waiting for your love tip.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So,
yeah,
so
Mary,
do the love tip, then we'll close with a scripture, okay?
Okay. So, let's see. I'm going to give one for the husbands and one for the wives. And then I'm going to give one for the both of you as a couple. Okay, so the first one is for the ladies. Take these three words and use your imagination. Bar, over-the-knee boots, cell phone. Okay, the next one is for the men. Mirror.
Wait a minute, Mary, repeat that again. Say it again. Say it again for the ladies, because I didn't catch it. I'm sure maybe somebody else wanted
okay.
to.
Okay. Bar, over-the-knee boots, and cell phone. That's for the ladies. Okay.
What was
this
the first word? Was it a bar?
B-A-R? Bar. B-A-R. Yeah, a bar. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
For the men? Okay. Mirror. Strawberries and necktie. Okay, did everybody get that? Okay, now this is for both of you as a couple. Give each other a striptease.
Say that again.
What?
Give each other a striptease.
Okay. I ain't got no problem with that.
Ooh wee.
Yeah, baby, it's now.
All right, back to you, Imani.
Okay, we just, as the Glovers, wanted to thank you guys and welcome you into our home and into our marriage for a few seconds to hear our hearts share. We were nervous. I told me, Mary, that I was afraid, and she said that's the best way to do it afraid. So thank you guys for listening to our heart share. You have anything, babe?
No, thank you, guys. I'm just really enjoying Marriage Matters and happy to be here and actually participating because, I was a silent person for so long, and I just got to share because Declare Victory has helped me so much in my life, and so I just happy that I got a voice now that y'all, I can hear my voice and interact and get some good feedback from y'all. So thank you.
Good job.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, don't be shy, family.
Right, don't be shy. Anytime you want to come with another declaration, you guys are more than welcome.
Yeah, Brother Cedric, we enjoy your sound, man. It's it's important to know that your sound is needed and is necessary. We're blessed, and we're helped by it also. So great job, both of you, you and Imani. Great job. Good stuff.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to have my girlfriend, Teresa, from Atlanta, read a scripture she's coming from.
Okay, I'll be coming from.
Wait, somebody mute their phone. It's a background noise. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. I'll be reading Genesis 2 and starting at the 18th verse, but then I'm going to skip down to the 22nd verse. So it starts, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So I'm going to skip down to 22. It says, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Jeree from the 706.
All right. DV4L. Marriage matters.
Marriage matters. Y'all in the morning. 6 o'clock.
Guys,
God
thank you.
Bless.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.